Y'all pray with me. May the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning. I say it again, good morning. Today, we're going to start on a journey through the book of Ephesians. It's a sermon series that I call Living Loved. And we're going to take an in-depth look into not all of Ephesians, but some of the chapters. You know, Ephesians is called the book of love. Now, there's some debate on who wrote Ephesians, but there is a general consensus among most biblical scholars that the Apostle Paul either wrote it or one of his students wrote it under his direction and guidance. It is written to the Christians that live in Ephesus. Whether they be Jews or Gentiles or Romans, you know, there was a whole diverse group of people of different faiths living in Ephesus at that time. Ephesus was the city center. It was the capital of what has been called Asia Minor. Now, Paul didn't start the church there, but he was an honored guest. He was a teacher, a preacher, and a spiritual advisor to the church leaders there. But the church looked to Paul for guidance and theological discernment. He was honored in the city because of his relationship with the disciples. This letter was meant to be shared by everyone, not to one specific church or entity, kind of like running an ad on the front page of the Tampa Bay Times. You wanted everybody to read it. It was Paul's desire that all God's people knew of this letter in Ephesus. Now, the majority of Paul's letters were disciplinary, kind of like admonishments to some of the churches that he established. They were full of long and complicated details, kind of like the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church. It mandated teachings, and it talked about the contents of the character of the church. But then there's the book of Ephesians, written simply, full of emotional, descriptive, and spiritual uplifting words from Paul. Quite unlike Paul. They were encouraging and loving, and it was written near the very end of his life, as he was in prison, probably thirsty, hungry, wet, I would imagine, lonely perhaps, suffering for sure. We're not really sure what his health condition was, but it wasn't the best of health. It's like these are his last words. These are the words that Paul really wanted people to remember, to not forget, words to live by. Now, I can truly understand why Paul would write a letter like this. I've experienced something very similar during my mom's last 2 weeks of her life. She was dying with terminal breast cancer, and it had been a terrible ongoing thing. That was back in the 80s. when they experimented with chemo and radiation. And it was just awful. The treatment was worse than the disease. We spent a lot of time with her in those last days. And she called me and my sisters in one day, and she wanted us to know the things that she treasured most about us and the things that she treasured about life. She told me that I had the gift of understanding and compassion. Well, it's taken me decades to fully embrace this gift, but it was always back there in the back of my mind when something in my life would happen and I would say, you know, my mom said I was compassionate. This is what the Apostle Paul was doing in the book of Ephesians. The first chapters are expansive statements on God's overflowing and never-ending love and grace. God has blessed us through Christ, and his glorious grace is freely given to all of us, and we experience God's power as it makes us holy and forgiven and blameless. We find the source of this power in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God looks upon the multitudes and he has compassion for them. And you can find this in Mark 6. You are included, it says. In Jesus Christ, God looks upon the Gentile and says, you are included. In Jesus Christ, God looks upon children and women and says, you are included. God looks upon the stranger and says, you are included. He looks upon the prodigal son and says, you are included. And he looks upon us, you and me. And even in all of our weaknesses and conditions, he says, you are included. We are all included, no matter who we are in life, where we come from, what we have done, or who we know. God's love is all-inclusive, and we receive this love in Christ. Now, again, if we learned anything last week, I hope you learned that our relationship with Christ is all about our hearts, and that the heart of the matter is that it's a matter of our heart. As we begin our study of living loved and looking at the love of Christ, the Apostle Paul, right before he goes into this, he says a prayer. And it's one of the most beautiful prayers for me. There's only one other that can match this prayer from Paul, and that was a prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper. But in this prayer, it starts at chapter 3, starting at verse 14. But I want you to listen to his compassion for all of God's children. This is Paul's last wishes for us and the things that he desires for all of God's people. And we are all included in this prayer. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And this was Paul's prayer for all of us. Now, what is it that he's praying for specifically? Well, first, I want to point out what he doesn't pray for. He doesn't pray for our health or safety or for our success or wealth. He doesn't pray that our enemies won't stand against us or that we won't experience our best lives ever. There's no shopping list of things that he wants us to have. There's no shopping list for his churches. He prays for one thing. He prays for love. He prays that the Spirit awaken in us the full power and strength of Christ in our hearts. I'm going to read that one line again. To be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is praying here for our hearts, that through the strength and power of the love that's in our hearts that we talked about last week, through the Holy Spirit, Christ will dwell in us. But then he qualifies that power with this word faith, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So what is he talking about? Through our faith, our belief, our love, our trust, our obedience, our witness and testimony, our prayer in Bible study, our worship, our service. That is our faith. It includes all of those things. And this is the strengthening power, the love of Christ that dwells in us. Paul is praying here that we remain in Christ, that we remain in Christ's love. The strength of our faith is not something that we do. It is what happens inside of us. Paul called it the inner man. It is our inner being. It is the place where God lives in our lives, and this love dwells in our hearts. You know, it's a good thing to know something, isn't it? To know that you know that you know that you know. Have y'all ever used that? When you're trying to convince someone, I know because I know that I know that I know. We know that Christ died for our sins, don't we? That's one of those things, I know that I know. That's what we've been taught. It's what Paul taught. It's what the Bible teaches us. We've learned it in Sunday school. In his prayer, though, Paul goes beyond this knowing, and he views the life of faith not simply as studying and looking back on the life and ministry of Jesus. It goes to a matter of Christ living in our hearts, in the here and now. And he says that this happens because of our faith. Because of Christ, the living word dwelling in us. Amen. And then Paul prays for our relationships. Y'all know I'm really big on relationships. He prays this, being rooted and grounded in love. so that we will know and understand the breadth and length